You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Before white colonizers took land from indigenous people already living here, the Nimiipu tribe occupied much of north central Idaho. French fur traders who encountered them back in the 1800s mistakenly called them Nez Perce, but their real name is Nimiipu, meaning the people. Today, we're speaking with three people from the tribe who are working to preserve and celebrate their way of life. Their stories have been collected in a new documentary called Creative Hearts and Minds of the Nez Perce. Let's take a listen.
For hundreds of years, there has been a non-tribal colonial perspective of who we are. And being able to stand here today knowing that, you know, 200 years ago, and that's not very long ago, this dress is 200 years old, that we shouldn't be here, you know, but we are. We're here to stay. Through so many difficult times and scenarios in our lives, Nimiipu are still here, and I think that speaks truth to who we are as a people.
That was the voice of Stacia Morphine, a Nez Perce storyteller. Stacia is with us today, along with beadmaker and artist Michaela Thompson and filmmaker Brandon McCone, who made the documentary. I want to welcome all of you to Idaho Matters.
Thank you.
Stacia, can I start with you? Because you're featured at the very beginning of the film, welcoming a group of tourists. And in fact, you founded and you are the executive director of the Nez Perce Tourism. So I'm curious about what your company does and why did you decide to start it?
Tats imakis katsiao yao. Tats ech ba'ain. Inam wunik was kusnim kesnuat. So yapa wunik was Stacia Morphine. What I said is a big thank you and welcome. My name is one who takes care of water, also known as Stacia Morphine. Again, welcome. Yes, I'm so excited to be here with you all today. And I just love the values of the podcast and the station that we're being a part of today, along with my brother Brandon and sister Michaela, and all of the audience who is tuning in today. Thank you, thank you, thank you for having some of the same values as we have in Indigenous communities and specifically Nimiipu country. But yes, Nez Perce Tourism is a phenomenal organization that is Native woman owned and operated. Nez Perce Tourism has a triple bottom line. Our most important things are people, planet, and then aside from that is profit. Nez Perce Tourism brings together people in a culturally authentic and environmentally sound tourism experience across all of our Nimiipu homelands and cultural ways. So in the video, once you guys watch it, we talk a little bit about the vast landscape in which the Nimiipu occupy. And sometimes when people talk about it, they talk about our homelands in a past tense way. And that's something that I want to bring forward today is that it is still Nimiipu homeland, even though we do have, and this was told in our prophecies that, you know, the settler colonialism would draw lines across our airways with airplanes, and that they would draw lines across our landscape with fences. Mm. And so the Nimiipu historically and still do access modern day parts of Idaho, Washington, Oregon, Montana, Wyoming, even up into Canada. There's just such a wide landscape that we still occupy and hunt and fish and gather upon. So right now, just to give you a little bit of context, we have, you know, traditional Nimiipu men and women hunters over in buffalo country in Yellowstone hunting for buffalo right now. So that gives you an idea of how amazing our leadership was, especially in the treaty negotiations of 1855, that they didn't just go to this place and with our other brothers and sisters from neighboring tribes and sign a document. When our people rode in from buffalo country, we surrounded the camp, and we rode with hundreds of horses around the camp three times, singing a very powerful honor song, which is now our flag song. But our leaders, what they did is they didn't just go in. They made sure that they completely and thoroughly understood the documents they were signing, but they negotiated for 3 or more days and talked about and wrote into our Treaty of 1855 all of the landscapes that we wanted they wanted us as future leaders to be able to understand and to practice and preserve these places. And so it's basically the Bitterroot to the Blues is what we they reserve for us, as far as making sure that the future generations, not only the Namipu, but the future generations of United States citizens, understood that this land was ours and that we were still going to be able to have access to our traditional places. And so that's what's really important about Nez Perce tourism, is that we recognize and respect, and we are still the leaders in preserving our culture, identity, and traditions, mm-hmm. while still jobs through local economy. So just this last year, we were able to work with 55 contractors, 55 different Namipu singers, drummers, dancers, historians. I mean, from age 2 months, we had some of our performers with their mothers, you know, dancing and drumming and singing with us and singing some of our ceremonial songs. But as little as 2 months old to, you know, very prominent elders, in which a lot of them, a few of them we lost this year, which is extremely unfortunate. But, you know, through tourism and in our initiative to preserve our language, our culture, our heritage, our values, we were able to capture some of those last, you know, living knowledge, and we're able to hold those in documents and events. And so it's been great. It's been a great experience so far. We just celebrated our 2 year anniversary, March 29th, just this last week. And so we're really creating milestones for other entrepreneurs. And through this video series, this has been wonderful, because we were able to also capture the knowledge that Michaela was shared with by her ancestors and her relatives. And then Brandon with his, you know, gifts in capturing what he did in such a short amount of time. And we were given these grant monies, and literally in 3 months during a pandemic, you guys, this is how resilient we were as a team and as a people. We were able to bring forth a dynamic piece of information for people across the globe, so they can understand who we are as Namipu, that we are resilient, that we are here to stay.
And Brandon, I want to bring you into the conversation, because you are a senior in high school. So congrats to you on your upcoming graduation. You have a documentary film under your belt. I mean, you literally created this documentary. How does that feel?
It's honestly kind of surreal, to be honest. I didn't think it would be this big. I knew it was going to be something I would do, but I didn't know if it was going to. I don't know. It's hard to describe, because I knew it was going to be public, and I didn't think it was going to get as big as it did. I thought it was just going to be a little thing. But
what inspired you, Brandon? Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm wondering about what inspired you to take on this project, right? I mean, it's one thing to have an idea of, like, you know what, it'd be great if there was a documentary, but to actually follow through with this. I mean, what was that inspiration?
Honestly, I just wanted something to work on. I wanted to test my, I wanted to practice my filmmaking. I wanted to try and learn how to do it, because mm-hmm. I was learning new stuff as I was doing it. I wanted to actually have a project to take what I've learned and use it. I wanted to kind of expand myself as an artist. You know, I just wanted something to work on, and I found this, and I thought, that's perfect. There's so many stories here. There's plenty of footage to get. There's plenty of people to talk to. I'm in the right place.
Michaela, you talk in the film about learning traditional beading from your grandmother when you were a child. What is so special about this type of art craft to the Namipu?
I think one thing that I definitely take pride in doing the beadwork is it's a traditional art form that, you know, that our ancestors have done and our families have done for generations. And so that's kind of how I hold such an importance with the beadwork that I do. And it's supposed to last for generations. You know, as you do a piece, mm-hmm. you know, most people pass one item down to their grandchildren and great grandchildren. And so that's the heaviest importance for me, is to making sure I'm kind of, you know, sustaining that tradition and being able to provide stories and provide, you know, just that piece of artwork and that piece of home for my people and those who do get my work.
How do you incorporate traditional beading into your, you know, more modern designs for your jewelry that you do, but also things like backpacks and hats?
Yeah, that's what I kind of have the most fun with. I love, you know, combining those traditional designs with contemporary designs and just kind of putting my own flair on things. I think it's very important to spotlight traditional designs and color patterns because it tells a story of who the beader is. And I like to be able to tell that, you know, whenever I'm speaking to anyone with beadwork, it's, you can kind of tell who's beading what based on their patterns and based on their stitching. For example, with the traditional Limipu colors that I use and color schemes that I use, we were using those color patterns since the 1800s, from sky blue being the main background or chalk white. It resembles kind of our connection to the land, our connection as people, including the brass and the shell discs and the wampum. And so when I get an idea, whether it's a hat, backpack, whether it's, you know, medallion or earrings, I kind of like to intertwine my personal gold flair or classy flair to it, but also include brass and wampum and all these other traditional values to kind of tell that story of me, the artist, being Mimipu as well. And like brass and wampum are kind of some of the things that I've been really revolving around lately. But I do so because back then in the 1800s, wampum and brass were definitely signs of kind of monetary value, or, you know, that was our way of flexing, you know, with our accessories and our jewelry. So I like to include that to, you know, still kind of have that aspect and the differentiation between other tribes. And so every piece kind of tells a story.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to continue our conversation about this new documentary and the Nimipu. So stick around. More Idaho Matters next. Continue our conversation with Nez Perce beadmaker and artist Michaela Thompson, along with storyteller Stacia Morphine. They are featured in a new documentary by filmmaker Brandon McCone called Creative Hearts and Minds of the Nez Perce. Stacia, in the film, you talk about being confused about your identity when you were younger. I'm curious about what helped you become more comfortable as you come into adulthood.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so glad you asked that. So one of the things that I was confused with, I guess, as a child is growing up as you would call it a half breed. I'm half Namipu, Nez Perce, and then I'm half non-tribal. So on my mother's side, we're Norwegian, we're white. And so growing up in a community in Lewiston, with a part-time with my father in Lapway, it was really hard navigating through that identity piece of who am I? I know where I come from. I know where my ancestors come from, but trying to fit into a colonial society was extremely challenging for a young woman, a young girl. And so I started turning towards other things to help kind of fill that void of loss of identity. So I started going towards, you know, alcoholism, smoking cigarettes, which turned into, you know, other forms of drugs. Mm-hmm. And so to be very transparent, I ended up that lifestyle progressed for several years, and I ended up with a felony offense, and I went to prison. And that is where I found myself. And it's so beautiful because as I think about, you know, my ancestors in exile after the flight of 1877, for doing nothing wrong. And I, on the other hand, was guilty for the crimes that I had committed. But it was that piece where I was able to authentically sit in silence and think and look in the mirror and find that strength and that courage of who am I? That is where I started dancing. I started singing the old drum songs that I learned in the sweat house with my grandparents. Singing those old songs, they started coming back to me. And that's where I found my strength. That's where I found my identity, was through our songs, through our language, through dancing. And when I got out of prison, I came home and I knew there was something that I needed to do. That time in prison, there was over 2 years that I was there. And I just thought, I did big time soul searching, just praying. I graduated with my associates and a bachelor's in prison. And so I was, you know, God had this plan for my life, and I was holding myself back. But as soon as I surrendered and said, I need help, help me. And I was talking to God, mm-hmm. I was talking to the spiritual power. He deposited that forgiveness, that hope, that light back into my spirit. And that's where I started seeing, you know, in the cracks of our sidewalks, that's where I started seeing our flowers growing. Mm-hmm. I saw how beautiful our sun.
And Stacia, I have to cut you off because we are running out of time. I so apologize. I would have loved to have spent more time with all of you, but thank you so very much for all of your time. This new documentary is called Creative Hearts and Minds of the Nez Perce. Watch it, learn more about the indigenous people of Idaho, the Nimiipo. Thank you, all three of you, so very much. We'll have more Idaho Matters tomorrow. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you then.